We'll open our devotion with the singing of the offertory on page 6. From Mark chapter 6, beginning with verse 46. And after saying goodbye to them, he went up the hill to pray. When it got late, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on the land. Jesus saw that they were in great trouble as they rowed, because the wind was against them. Toward morning, he came to them, walking on the lake. And he wanted to pass them by. They saw him walking on the lake, and thinking he was a ghost, they cried out because they had all seen him and were terrified. Immediately he talked to them. "Have courage," he said. "It is I. Don't be afraid." Hardships and trials and temptations are a necessary part of life. Jesus himself told us to expect them. And as parents and as teachers, we try to prepare our children and you, students, to face those trials and tribulations in a Christian manner. Our Lord does the same thing for us. Do you think that Jesus did not realize that bad weather was in the forecast for the lake when he sent those disciples off on the boat? Of course, he knew that. But he sent them anyway. Why? Well, first remember that this account follows right after the feeding of the 5,000. That means that the boat trip started early in the evening. Later, Jesus saw them out on the lake, having trouble and making headway, no headway, against the wind. Rowing hard, but getting nowhere, and in trouble with the waves. Now, Jesus went out on the lake about the fourth watch, which would make it sometime between maybe 3 and 6 in the morning. The disciples had been rowing and fighting those waters for up to 12 hours. Well, why did he wait so long? Why didn't he come sooner? Why not just wave his hand and change the wind or shut it down? Well, Jesus was a teacher. He saw the bigger picture, and he was preparing his men for the days that were to come. Did you catch the words of the text which seem so out of character with Jesus that he would have passed them by? First, Jesus let the disciples struggle for hours at the oars. And then when he finally did come to them, he was about to pass them by. Again, why? The lessons he was trying to teach the disciples are the same lessons that we need to learn. Think of the wonderful visions that they must have had in their disciples must have had in their heads after being disciples of a man who could give them all they wanted with just a single word. They had just seen the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus had to teach them that following him did not mean a life of ease. He had to drive those ideas from their minds. And this episode was part of the lesson. And why would he have passed them by? He wanted them to learn the lesson of calling out to him in every need and every circumstance. They needed to learn, as we do, to cry out to Jesus with every assurance that he can and will help. They rode, and it got them nowhere until Jesus came. Their own might and their stamina got them nowhere until Jesus came. They needed this lesson, and so do we. They would need this lesson in the days and years ahead, just as we do in our days and years ahead. Until Jesus, our Savior, comes to us to help us, we cannot make much headway solving the problems of this life. Well, what are our boats and oars? Well, we work very hard on the oars of work righteousness, even though we know better. We're trying to cover up our shortcomings, even though we know that Christ has paid for those shortcomings and forgiven all of our sins and shortcomings. For instance, did I despise the word by skipping chapel or not paying attention in chapel or not paying attention in church? Well, I'll feel better about it if I do something good for somebody today. We roll. Did I squander God's gifts on some sinful pleasure? I'll feel better about it if I put a little extra in the offering plate next Sunday. There are, of course, many more oars on which we exhaust ourselves, not the least of which is worrying when we ought to be trusting, trying to have a macho image when we should be asking God for a humble heart, speaking when we ought to be listening, bragging when we ought to be praising, and the list goes on. All of this makes God's gift of grace and eternal life that much more amazing. We who ought to know better are still garbage, and he knew we would still be unworthy, and still he chose us and sent his son to die for us. Now Jesus was coming very close to the time he would pay the price for our sins. And what was he doing before he came to his disciples on the water? He was praying, calling to his heavenly Father for strength to fulfill his destiny as the Savior of the world. What a lesson in the power that lies in prayer. Of course, then, we need also to call out to our God in times of trouble. We need to put down the oars and seek God for all answers to life's trials. We pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we come before you today to ask you the very special measure of your grace and power be showered upon our brothers in Nepal. Grant, if it be your will, safety through the devastating earthquakes and aftershocks. Above all, keep them strong in the faith in Jesus and his word, that all will work for the good of those who love him. Amen. We turn to hymn 744. I will be reading three of the stanzas, and you will join in singing the refrain after each one. Stanza 1. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, the power throughout the universe displayed. And when I think that God, His Son, not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart! Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Announcements.
Seniors, it's your turn to help with gym setup. Let's show up. Great interest to help out your school. 12:30.